14th day of March, 2010. I am Jason Burmis, your host. It's the Info Warrior, only at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. I want to lead into the show today with City to Create Green Jobs for Ex-Convicts. We're always telling you about the green police, the new economy. Well, they're going to give the lowest common denominator first crack at the new green economy. The city of Chicago is using $16 million in federal funding to create hundreds of green jobs for former inmates. You see, they use inmates. They use people who have been convicted of felonies. They use people who are on power trips to enforce the green movement. So when they tell you can't use that light bulb, it's incandescent, it's not fluorescent. When they say you can't have five bags of garbage, four is the limiter, you're going to be charged a little bit more, taxed a little bit more, these will be the enforcers. Mayor Daley spoke about the program at the Center of Green Technology Thursday. He said it's important to stigmatize people who have paid their debt in society and explains why he feels it's necessary to help former inmates reenter the workforce. This also allows them to pay them the bare minimum. They don't have to bring in specialists. They don't have to bring in actual law enforcement officers. They don't have to bring in people with a conscience. They can pay them whatever they want. And again, they will take from the lowest rung of society. That's only one of the many stories we're going to be going over today on the Info Warrior. I'm also going to be doing a little bit of an expose on all of these drug commercials I'm constantly seeing at 2 or 3 in the morning or 5 or 6 in the afternoon when I turn on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Whether it's Ambien CR or this new drug to help you quit smoking, we're going to go over about 3 or 4 of them. And the main thing I think that people need to take away from these commercials is the fact that they're advertising the product for around 20 to 30 seconds, and then the next 45 seconds to a minute and a half is all about the horrible side effects. May cause cancer, may cause sudden death, may cause heart attack, may cause rash in children, young adults, seniors, and middle-aged people. They literally warn you for 2 to 3 times the actual time of the advertisement. May cause homicidal thoughts, suicidal tendencies. If you experience any of these side effects, contact your doctor immediately and discontinue use. And it's all matter of fact. I don't understand how we become so dumbed down, so numbed up, that when we see a commercial like this, we're like, yeah, that's the drug I want to take. That sounds great. That'll help me in every way, shape, and form. That will help me go to sleep. That will help me quit smoking. That will help me concentrate. Really? Will it really help you? And the quitting smoking, what's wrong? Don't you have a little bit of willpower? The Nicorette gum isn't enough. The patch isn't enough. Now you need to take this drug with 27 different side effects? And they always play on the heartstrings. It's some mother that's been smoking for 25 years. And her son comes up to her and says, Mom, I really want you to quit smoking. I want you to be around for your grandchildren. Oh, and that just hit me right here in the heart. But I couldn't do it on my own. I needed to take a Big Pharma drug in order to actually quit smoking. Because Big Pharma loves me. So we're going to go over 1, 2, maybe even 3 of those commercials. We're also going to be playing this video of a young girl who took the second Gardasil shot, spent much of the next year being hospitalized, in her own words, and that will really dovetail into the decision by the high courts, if you will, that thimerosal and mercury are nutritious and delicious, and the 5,000-plus parents that are out there saying that their kid is now autistic because of it are all just liars. We're all just liars. It's great to take the vaccines. It doesn't matter if on the FDA's own website this week, they're recalling 3 out of the 4 major vaccines for swine flu. We're going to show you that as well. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. Stay tuned. InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, and don't forget to pre-order my new film, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined. Go to a couple of these commercials for Big Pharma. The first one is going to be Abilify. Now, Abilify is for those who are depressed and already on antidepressants, which in many studies have actually shown cause depression or deeper depression or suicidal or homicidal thoughts. But it's okay. No big deal. We'll just add another psychotropic drug in there, another reuptake inhibitor. Great job. Great idea. So let's play the commercial. And they advertise for Abilify, how great it is, for about 20 seconds. And then wait till you get to the laundry list of side effects. Let's hit the clip.
I'm taking an antidepressant, but it feels like I need some more help.
Approximately 2 out of 3 people being treated for depression still have unresolved symptoms. If your antidepressant alone isn't enough, talk to your doctor.
All right, let's pause there. So right there, they're admitting in 2 out of 3 people who are on these psychotropic drugs, it doesn't work. They still have depression. So it doesn't work for 2 out of 3 people that are actually prescribed it. And then if you actually looked at the placebo effects, it seems like maybe it doesn't work for anybody. You know what we should do? Add another drug. Hit the clip.
And he may consider is adding Abilify. Abilify is approved to treat depression in adults when added to an antidepressant. Learn more about Abilify. Call your doctor if your depression worsens or you have unusual changes in mood.
Let's pause it right now. We are about 30 seconds deep in this commercial. They advertised it for 20, and now it's call your doctor if your depression deepens. Now for the next 45 seconds, they will tell you about all the horrible side effects and still somehow get mainstream America to buy into this drug. Go ahead.
Thoughts of suicide. Antidepressants can increase these in children, teens, and young adults. Elderly dementia patients taking Abilify have an increased risk of death or stroke. Call your doctor if you have high fever, stiff muscles, and confusion on Abilify, as these may be signs of a life-threatening reaction.
Stop! Oh, your muscles are sore? Life-threatening reaction? No problem. Abilify is great for everybody. Continue.
Controllable muscle movements, as these could become permanent. High blood sugar has been reported with Abilify and medicines like it. In some cases, extreme high blood sugar can lead to coma or death. Other risks include dizziness upon standing, decreases in white blood cells, which can be serious.
Stop right there. Oh, really? Decreases in white blood cells can be serious? Seeing without white blood cells, we can't fight off infections and stave off disease? Oh, you mean white blood cells are important, and this lowers your white blood cell count. Weird. Folks, I've stopped the thing 3 times for the horrific and unbelievable side effects they're putting on the television as they're trying to sell you the drug. Let's go.
Impaired judgment or motor skills, or trouble swallowing.
Adding Abilify has made a difference for me.
I'll bet it has.
Talk to your doctor about the risks and benefits of adding Abilify. Visit AbilifyTreatment.com.
What exactly are the benefits of Abilify? I didn't see any. I heard if you're still depressed, maybe you need to take another drug. And that 2 out of 3 people on depression drugs like Prozac and Zoloft, it doesn't work. That's what I heard. You know why? Because I have something called a brain. I have cognitive thought. When people are spewing Johnny nonsense on me, I have a thing called discernment. If that's not enough to make you puke in your mouth, I want to bring up the next one. Now, this one's not even for depression. This is, I can't quit smoking. It's Simitex or something like that. We'll hit the clip. This one advertises the drug for about 15 to 20 seconds of a minute and 30 commercial, and the rest of the entire thing is how horrible it is for you and your body. Go ahead.
Herb quit smoking with Chantix and support. Talk to your doctor about Chantix and a support plan that's right for you. Some people have had changes in behavior.
Did I say 20 seconds? I meant 8. 8 seconds they advertise the drug, and then all of a sudden it's like a paragraph and a half. Throw it up on screen for people in the pause mode for PrisonPlanet.tv. You got a paragraph down there. Some people have changes in behavior, hostility, agitation, depressed mood, and suicidal thoughts or action while taking or after stopping Chantix. So not only taking it, if you took it for a little while, it's not for you. Trying to kick it, you might want to hang yourself. No big deal. 8 seconds of advertisement, and now the next minute plus is how terrible and horrific the drug is. But people will buy this in droves because we are brainwashed. We are mesmerized and hypnotized by people using Bernays propaganda on the masses. Hit it.
Hostility, agitation, depressed mood, and suicidal thoughts or actions while taking or after stopping Chantix. If you notice agitation, hostility, depression, or changes in behavior, thinking, or mood that are not typical for you, or if you develop suicidal thoughts or actions, stop taking Chantix and call your doctor right away. Talk to your doctor about any history of depression or other mental health problems, which can get worse while taking Chantix. Some people can have allergic or serious skin reactions to Chantix, some of which can be life-threatening. If you notice swelling of face, mouth, throat, or a rash, stop taking Chantix and see your doctor right away.
So if you're swelling up, you might die, you may have suicidal or homicidal thoughts, you may have an allergic reaction, you may break out. Oh, this drug sounds wonderful. I'm sure we've got about 10 or 15 more seconds of it for horrible, right? About 10. Let's finish up the clip.
As they may work differently when you quit smoking. Chantix dosing may be different if you have kidney problems. The most common side effect is nausea. Patients also reported trouble sleeping and vivid, unusual, or strange dreams. Until you know how Chantix may affect you, use caution when driving or operating machinery.
See, let's stop it right there. You can't drive or operate machinery on a drug that's supposed to make you quit smoking, but it could cause suicide, agitation, hostility, homicidal thoughts. Oh, this is the drug for me. This is great. We'll advertise it for 10 seconds, and then it's a minute and 10 seconds of horrible. And people buy into it. They actually think that this is going to help them stop smoking. Ah, yes, that smiling old man stopped smoking. That middle-aged woman with kids stopped smoking. I can too. Just tell me how to spend my money. All right, let's wrap it up. Let's keep going right here.
Be taken with other quit smoking products.
All right, I guess that's the wrap up. It's just like him with his family.
They used to be, and that helped me quit.
Talk to your doctor to find out if prescription Chantix is right for you.
By the good people at Pfizer. Oh, it's from Pfizer. You know it has to be good. All right, I want to wrap this up, and then we're going to start going to your calls, 888-201-2244, with the Ambien CR commercial. She can't sleep. What should she do? Ambien CR and a rooster sell the product. Well, they tell you, well, you might commit homicide, you might commit suicide, you might get worse. Let's hit the Ambien commercial.
When morning comes in the middle of the night, it affects your entire day. To get a good night's sleep, try two-layer Ambien CR. The first layer dissolves quickly to help you fall asleep. And unlike other sleep aids, a second dissolves slowly to help you stay asleep. When taking Ambien CR, don't drive or operate machinery. Sleepwalking and eating or driving while not fully awake with memory loss for the event, as well as abnormal behaviors such as being more outgoing or aggressive than normal, confusion, agitation, and hallucinations may occur.
Oh, hallucinations, how lovely.
As it may increase these behaviors. Allergic reactions such as shortness of breath, swelling of your tongue or throat may occur, and in rare cases may be fatal.
Side effects
may include next day drowsiness, dizziness, and headache. In patients with depression, worsening of depression, including risk of suicide, may occur.
If you experience suicide.
Any of these behaviors or reactions, contact your doctor immediately. Wake up ready for your day. Ask your healthcare provider for two-layer Ambien CR.
So you may be sleepwalking, sleep eating, having hallucinations, possibly committing suicide. Your windpipe may actually close up and you will die, but no big deal. Ambien CR is for you. I've got an idea if you want to fall asleep. How about you work an 8-hour day and you do a little bit of exercise? My money is on you being tired, you actually falling asleep. Maybe if you weren't so slovenly sitting there at a computer or watching soap operas all day with no physical activity whatsoever, you could sleep. Now, I know there are people out there with sleep issues. I'm one of them. I'm not on a regular sleep schedule. I was here till midnight last night. I probably didn't get to bed till 4 in the morning. I still had to get up and get in here by 1 or 2 in the afternoon. Today, I was here at like 1. But at the same time, I know my body. I know if I do physical activity in a day, I go out and shoot some hoops, I hit the gym, I'm tired. You know why? You're supposed to be tired when you do physical activity. You're not supposed to be taking Ambien CR by Big Pharma. That's why they tell you, oh, it could cause hallucinations, suicidal thoughts and tendencies, homicidal thoughts and tendencies, you know, agitation, you may strangle your kid. Oh, no big deal, everything's good. Take the drug. All right, let's take some callers. Let's go to Bob in New Jersey. Bob, you're online. Yes, sir. We got Bob?
Hey, Berman.
Yeah. Yo.
What's going on?
What's up, man?
I wanted to ask a couple questions about Loose Change, all three versions of the film. And I just wonder if you could talk a little bit about the process of, like, who was involved in the first film, you know, how did you get involved?
Sure.
Did you make about what you left in and what left out?
All right. I'd like to make... All right. Well, let me answer the question, Bob. First film was really done by Dylan Avery almost on his own. It was a 60-minute documentary. He did that with, Phil Jahan, actually, of Let'sRoll911.org, put up the money for the first 500 DVDs. And then from those 500 DVDs, Dylan was able to do it on his own. I became involved during Loose Change Second Edition in the summer before it's released. I believe we released that in February of 2005. I met those guys on a chance meeting. It happened that they went to Oneonta in high school, and that's where I went to college. I was actually, I was delivering pizzas at the time. I was a pizza guy on the reg. Actually, it was my delivery guy who went to school with them, and I had seen the first Loose Change, and he said they were coming back to New York, and he could set up a meeting. So I met with Corey Rowe. I think the next day he came in, talked to Corey for maybe an hour. Corey then gave me the script for the second edition. On my way to work, because I was working two jobs at the time, I was actually a graphic designer, so like 6 in the morning, I would take a bus out to Cooperstown and do that job. So at 6 in the morning, I was going through the second edition script saying, all right, this is good, this is good, this is good, I'd like to add this, maybe we should take this out. Met Dylan later in the week, got involved with the process, and then we released that, like I said, I believe it was either, pretty sure it was February of 05. And then, you know, the thing took off. I guess I'll get into Loose Change taking off, how we made Loose Change Final Cut, that process as well. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlan.tv, InfoWars.com. Up right now how I got involved in the Loose Change project, talking about how in February of 05 when we released Loose Change Second Edition, really started to take off all over the internet. It was really the introduction of Google Video, where you could upload a whole video. YouTube was really starting to take off, and we just got a ton of views, and all of a sudden we were getting calls from Sirius Radio. People wanted us to come to their town. I remember the first trip that we took was in Arizona, and it was around that same time, I think in April, that I was able to quit my day job and start doing this full time. So then we traveled all over the country. We even had an opportunity to maybe put it out in theaters. We met with people from, people from a lot of different places, even Lionsgate, but they weren't interested. And then we got through Mark Cuban's company, and he seemed pretty interested, even had a sit-down meeting with Charlie Sheen. All that stuff got blown away. The mainstream media attacked. We released it on the web. And really, that was the end of my involvement in Loose Change. After Loose Change Final Cut, I decided to move on. Instead of basing a film on really the physical anomalies of 9/11, which really the first three Loose Change were really based on those physical anomalies. Again, the first one was only 60 minutes long. We went and took what I felt was the strongest 30 minutes and made a 90-minute picture out of that. That was Loose Change Second Edition. And then after the second edition, we were forced to just make a few little cuts in there because of dealings with some of the footage. So there was an extended second edition, but it was really the same exact thing. And Final Cut is really a separate movie. Although it has about 10 to 15 to maybe even 20 minutes of the same footage, we have interviews, it's much more well-produced, and I really do think it is the definitive film on the physical anomalies regarding 9/11 and some of the backstory. However, that's why I made Fabled Enemies after that. Fabled Enemies is my film which really exposes the international intelligence operation that 9/11 was. I go into the Pakistani funding of the hijackers, the U.S. hijackers being brought into the U.S. from Saudi Arabia through a CIA front base. I go over the drills and the continuity of government program. I go over the Israeli operatives connection, Amdocs, Comverse, even some of the other attacks that happened that day, the ones that involved Air Force One, the threats against the White House, and some of the other hijackings, the one that was coming out of Alaska, which was Korean Airlines. So I covered that in Fabled Enemies, and now I'm really just trying to expand on all of that stuff and get into my next film, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, to show the bigger picture. That answer your question, Bob?
Yeah, it does. Just one quick comment, maybe you kind of already touched on it, is the most compelling thing I think about Second Edition mm-hmm. is all the other steel structure, burning building, you know, footage, and all these other big skyscrapers that burned for 18, 20 hours and didn't collapse.
Sure.
I guess you kind of already mentioned, you know, why was that left out of Final Cut?
I don't know if that was exactly... Well, hold on, Bob. I don't think that was exactly left out of Final Cut. I think the Final Cut was just 2+ hours. And in order to put things like John Gross of NIST denying the molten metal and then showing the actual people talking about the molten metal, you know, you have to make certain sacrifices out there. You can't put the same thing over and over and over and again in a film. And really, I'd like to talk about Building 7 because there were some pictures that were released just this week from Building 7. And these were the pictures that supposedly James Meigs and Popular Mechanics had seen. And it proved that 20+% of the bottom of the building was scooped out. And these pictures absolutely do not show that. Bob, I got to go get on. I got a full line. But we're going to show some of those pictures. And then we're going to expose their lies. Let's go to Julio in Illinois. Julio, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason, what's going on? Quick question. I sent you guys an email last week. I was reviewing Alex Jones interviewing Lindsay Williams, and I saw something pretty shocking in the healthcare bill about the RFID chips.
Well, and you know what? Hold on. You're talking about implantable devices. As far as I know, I've read this healthcare bill, and they talk about implantable devices, but that doesn't necessarily mean implantable RFID devices. If you can show me a subsection where they say RFID devices, because they could be talking about pacemakers and other devices. So I'm not quite sure if that's a reality. Are you telling me that RFID specifically is in this bill?
Now, this is the interesting thing. The bill does not specifically say RFID. What it talks about is telehealth communication, telehealth medicine. And I sent you guys an email. I did a full research on this. Mm-hmm. Telehealth, there's a video I sent you guys from UC Davis, University of California, Davis, talking about telehealth. And it mentioned one of the key components of the telehealth system is an RFID chip. Now, mm-hmm. the bill doesn't say RFID, but it talks about telehealth. AT&T, there was a video they posted from March the 2nd or March the 1st from 2010, talking about, you know, telehealth communications and telehealth medicine. So AT&T is expected to make huge off of this. Is there any way I can resend you all my info?
Listen, Julio, the best way to get at me is to send me a message on Facebook, facebook.com/TheInfoWarrior, or myspace.com/JasonBurmis. I will take a look at it. That's how you get it to me, and I will take a look at this telehealth thing. We'll be back with Ben, Mike, Randy, Ali, JR, and more. It's The Info Warrior. Jason Burmes, I want to remind everybody that I have a little website called theinfowarrior.com that I'm starting to update again, and you can get the podcast of this program if you missed any of the radio broadcast. You can get the whole thing right after the show over at theinfowarrior.com. I've got loaded phone lines, but I want to hit this story up before we get there because we're covering Beyond Climate Gate. We're showing you the headlines every single week about how the UN doctored the evidence, faked the evidence, about how this is about world government and a global carbon tax on humanity. UN climate change claims on rainforests were wrong. Oh, really? Well, they were wrong on everything else from sea levels to the fact that carbon dioxide is a noxious poison. So it doesn't really surprise me that the United Nations has lied yet again, this time about the rainforest. The United Nations Climate Change Panel is facing fresh criticism after new research contradicted the organization's claims about the devastating effect climate change could have on the Amazon rainforest. A new study funded by NASA has found the most serious drought in the Amazon for more than a century had little impact on the rainforest vegetation. Really? Well, since there hasn't been any global warming, admittedly by the top UN scientist, Michael Mann, who wanted to commit suicide after he was outed, that's not a shocker. The emails read, there has been no global warming since 1995. Let me repeat that. No global warming since 1995. That's 15 years in the making. And then he says, it's not statistically significant. Sounds pretty statistically significant to this guy. The guy you're trying to tax, the guy you're trying to squeeze, the guy you're trying your mafia-esque tactics on. Sounds important to me. The findings appear to disprove claims that the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, which would be the launching point for their high-level panel world government, was wrong. Oh, no kidding. That up to 40% of the Amazon rainforest could react drastically to even a small reduction in rainfall and could see the trees replaced by tropical grassland. The IPCC has already faced intense criticism for using a report by environmental lobby group WWF as the basis for its claims, which in turn had failed to cite the original source of the research, because they don't do scientific research. They do bilking the people. They do hypnotizing the public. They do propaganda placement for a global tax. That's how they roll. All right, let's go to our next caller. I believe it is Ben in Wisconsin. Ben, you're online.
Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Good, good.
Good. I wanted to go back to your point on the pharmaceutical commercials for a quick second, if I could.
Sure thing.
I'm a former user of both Prozac and Paxil.
Okay.
I have been using psychotropic pharmaceuticals on and off since my freshman year of high school. I'm now 22, and okay. I just wanted to kind of get my viewpoint on it. First off, if you notice the commercials, the first thing that you want to note is the fact that it is for the relief of symptoms related to these problems. Mm-hmm. It is not even advertised as a cure-all for this stuff. It's used to relieve the symptoms, and so mm-hmm. what it does is it alters your mood by dulling your emotions and giving you a false sense of confidence. It doesn't actually help the root issues of the problem. And so what happens is these emotions stay bottled up, and they lead to, in my opinion, eruptions and erratic behavior. And pretty much my point on this is that there's no magic bullet for good mental health, and that mm-hmm. this stuff is based off of shoddy science at best, and it's really based off of profit and not healing. And if you
I want to ask you, Ben, when did you get off these things? You said you've been since a freshman in high school. That's usually about 13 or 14 years old. You're 22 now. If you just got on, that would mean you were on these psychotropic drugs for 7 or 8 years. How long has it been since you took one of these drugs?
Well, let me clarify that first. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who deal with symptoms of depression or anxiety or their mental disorders have a problem staying on their drugs because of the fact that they don't like the way that they make them feel. Mm-hmm. So I went on Prozac, first off. Mm-hmm. Then I went off of it. Then I went back on it. Then after a while, I went through college, and on my way back out of college, I started to get overwhelmed with the transition process from graduating and going back into the workforce mm-hmm. and also moving around a little bit. So I went on to what I thought would help. And this is based, you know, mostly off of, you know, what I've heard from, in my opinion, kind of whitewashed journalism and also, you know, commercials. So mm-hmm. I went back on to these drugs, and this time I went on to anxiety drugs, and I went on those for about a year. So that's leading up to about here. So the last time that I was on these, I was on Paxil for about a little bit over a year. Mm-hmm. And then knowing, you know, what happens when you go off of these drugs, I weaned myself off. And that's another thing is I do not think these drugs work, but at the same time, I'm not telling anybody to go off of them, especially immediately, mm-hmm. Because you can have some serious side effects from that and actually do yourself more harm than good.
So what does the withdrawal feel like? Are you constantly edgy? Do you feel like you need it when you're trying to withdraw from these drugs? Or explain it to me.
It's not like an addiction type of withdrawal. It's like your symptoms come back, and they come back hard, and they come back intense, and they come back in a rush. Especially.
Okay. Well, Ben, I really appreciate the insight. I thank you for the call. Call in anytime. We're going to go to Mike in Texas, and then we're going to play this TalkSport ad that explains how you should be watching and snitching on your neighbor who's a possible terrorist. Does he have guns? Does he keep his windows closed? Is he antisocial? He must be a terrorist. And, of course, TalkSport, one of the big UK radio stations out there. So we're going to play that coming up. Let's go to Mike in Texas. Mike, you're online.
Yes, sir. Next level snitching programs, make sure you're taking your pills, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to throw a couple of things at you real quick. You know, it's wonderful being awake and realizing, you know, that alternative health is real health. Mm-hmm. And seeing how they're trying to put so much suppressed information out of the picture. And I wanted to just say real quick, I've had sleeping problems since I really started looking into, you know, the New World Order and whatnot, and trying to take a stand against it. But I found melatonin, which is completely natural, has helped me sleep for the last 3 years. So, you know, I mean, there are people with conditions, but there's always alternative routes than what's being pushed at you on the TV. But I wanted to ask you, have you seen the Gardasil commercial, the One Less Woman?
One Less Woman commercial? No, I haven't, but I am going to be playing this young girl who did her own YouTube video describing her experience from taking the Gardasil shots. This is the anti-HPV vaccine. HPV, not life-threatening, not really a big deal, but let's throw some thimerosal and other goodies into the bodies of our young, impressionable, growing children. Appreciate the call, Mike. I'd also say out there, you know, when I first started looking into this stuff, yeah, I lost a lot of sleep. Right now I'm losing a lot of sleep because I'm on the very end of the production of Invisible Empire, New World Order Defined. And when you're at that level where the DVD is shipping off and the extras have to get done and you have to have the chapter names and you're going through in your head and you're like, is every edit okay? Is all everything synced up? I want to make sure I am going to have a huge load taken off my back. Hopefully Tuesday or Wednesday when this thing is off, I get a check disc. I can check that check disc. It looks great. And then millions of people around the world can see my movie for free online or get copies and then make copies and hand them out to your friends, family, neighbors, everybody out there. And speaking of neighbors, this is a good transition point for the TalkSport Your Neighbor is a Terrorist commercial. Hit the clip.
The following message is brought to you by TalkSport and the Anti-Terrorist Hotline. The man at the end of the street doesn't talk to his neighbors much because he likes to keep himself to himself. He pays with cash because he doesn't have a bank card. And he keeps his curtains closed because his house is on a bus route. This may mean nothing, but together, it could all add up to you having suspicions. We all have a role to play in combating terrorism. If you see anything suspicious, call the confidential anti-terrorist hotline on 0800 789 321.
So to review,
suspect it, report it.
If you suspect it, report it. So to review, if your neighbor isn't talking to you enough, closes his shades, and pays with cash, yes, the demon seed cash, he's a terrorist. That's the combo pack for terrorism. He doesn't talk to his neighbor. I don't talk to my neighbors. I don't know any of my neighbors. I don't know one of my neighbors. I met my neighbor across the street one time. The neighbor that lives to the left of me, I have no idea what their names are. I said hello the other day because my dog was barking at their dog, and they came out to get their dog. Hello. Am I a terrorist? I keep my windows shut. All of my curtains are closed. I like to pay with cash. In fact, I paid with cash today. Am I a terrorist? According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, probably, unfortunately. All right, let's continue with the callers. Let's go to Randy in Texas. Randy, you're online.
Hey, Alex. I'm sorry. Jason.
That's okay. That's okay.
Anyway,
go ahead.
The more I listen to you, the more I like you.
All right.
All right. Anyway, talking about the Chantix, I took the Chantix about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And after about 2 weeks of the dreams, I quit it.
All right, so let's talk about that, because in a lot of these, it's not only just the Chantix, but we had the same warning in the Ambien CR commercial, and they're telling me that you might have wild dreams. What are these wild dreams like? Like, are they just more lucent? Are they vivid? Do you feel like you're in them? Are they just a more bizarre content? Obviously, after a couple weeks, you quitting the drug because of their dreams, they must be pretty drastic. Describe them for the audience.
Really bad dreams that you can't remember.
Mm-hmm. So what, you're waking up in a cold sweat with stress and you're breathing heavy and you know that you just had some kind of a weird experience, but you can't remember it?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Anyway, as soon as I quit them, within about a week, they quit.
Mm-hmm. It was all over. Well, that's just another example of how, you know, you'd rather go the healthy route, the willpower route. Get out there. Get in the sunlight. Take in that vitamin D, huh? Think. Have some willpower. Think to yourself, you know, this cigarette is bad. I know it's hard out there to quit things that you're so used to. It's hard to quit alcohol. It's hard to quit smoking. It's hard to stay on a regular exercise regimen. But anything in life that's worth doing ain't easy, folks. So the easy fix of taking a drug like Chantix is also not easy. You're going to wake up with cold sweats, with a beating heart. Is that what you want? Is that worth it to quit smoking? I don't know. Let's go to Ali in Canada. Ali, you're online.
Hi, Jason. Jason, first, I want to comment in regards to this this pharmaceutical drug Chantix. Well, a couple of years ago, I was also a very big chain smoker. I mean, like, I used to smoke, like, at least, you wouldn't believe, 10 packs a day.
Okay, that's a bit excessive, but okay.
A lot. Believe me, it is, because I was smoking like hell.
Okay.
But the way I quit, and believe me, I did not take any pharmaceutical drug.
Mm-hmm.
I only used, now first off, it was my guilty conscience, and number two, the main thing was amino acid tablets and protein tablets.
Mm-hmm.
Excessive amount of those, and they eventually replaced the craving.
Okay.
So I don't want to get into the science of that because I know you may not have time for that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So the other thing is that I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
It's regarding that guy who was the owned prisons. If you're a company, how would you make profit out of private prisons?
I'll tell you how you make private prison property. First of all, you get tax money for every single prisoner. So when they say that it costs $36,000 a year to take care of prisoners, they get that money from the state. Now, on top of that, if you're a privatized prison, you may also own some kind of a food company, and that food company actually brings the food to the prisoners, but they use those same companies for school children. And then a lot of the privatized prison owners also own the local hotels and shops so that when people come to visit them, they make money. How else do they make money in privatized prisons? Well, they farm out their prisoners to companies like AT&T and Sprint, and they're the ones calling you up telling you that you should change your services. And instead of paying somebody minimum wage, which is around $7+ an hour in the United States, you get to pay them 38 cents. So there are a ton of ways out there to make money on the privatized prison system. And that's outside of shopping the prisoners out to do construction work, to do community service work. There's so much out there. It really is a system for profit. And I believe that's covered somewhat in detail in American Drug War, which we carry here at Infowars.com, and now the sequel, How Weed Won the West. So go check those out. Appreciate the call. Before I go into JR, Mark, Peter, and others, 888-201-2244, I want to get into this Guardian story. A Russian invasion scare sweeps Georgia after TV hoax. A Meti TV broadcaster provokes panic with report claiming Russian attack in progress. And this is War of the Worlds type propaganda. This is a beta test psyop that actually took place yesterday. Georgians rally in central Tbilisi against a local television channel's fake report of a Russian invasion which caused widespread panic. Switching on their TV sets at 8 p.m. on Saturday, Georgians were greeted with incredible news. Russia had invaded. The pro-government Meti TV, and this is a pro-government station, reported that Russian tanks were once more trundling into Georgia. Not only that, but the country's pro-Western leader, Mikhail Saakashvili, Mr. I love the New World Order. We need to create a New World Order. Yes, he is in Invisible Empire saying those two very things, had been murdered. Now, remember, this is a pro-government station that is propagating that Russia is currently invading. They even played clips from 2008 when Dmitry Medvedev got on TV and said that Russia was going into Georgia because Georgia had snuck attacked South Ossetia. And the entire Western media reported that Russia snuck attacked South Ossetia and now invaded Georgia. No, it was the other way around. The reason that the media did that is because Georgia has the third largest amount of troops in the Middle East under our little Anglo-American empire. And Georgia would like very much to be a part of NATO. They are part of the establishment, the New World Order establishment. So they didn't want to tell you the truth there. They didn't want to tell you that Georgia went in and killed those people in South Ossetia and Russia defended itself. So over a year plus later, they spin it again with a fake report For the next half hour, there were scenes of absolute panic. As the mobile network collapsed, Georgians spilled onto the streets, and friends and relatives desperately tried to reach each other and seek out information. In fact, they needn't have bothered. The report, it turned out, was a hoax. The Kremlin hadn't invaded, and Saakashvili had emerged was very much alive. Not since Orson Welles persuaded Americans that the Martians had landed during his hysteria-sparking War of the Worlds radio broadcast had a whole nation been so duped. We'll go over this and much more on the other side. Call in 888-201-2244. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burks from Live.TV, InfoWars.com.
Drifting along in the same stale shit.
The InfoWarrior with Jason Burmis, and to recap, Russian invasion scare sweeps Georgia after TV hoax. Why is it that a state-sponsored Georgian television station reported that Russia had invaded, showed stock footage of Medvedev saying that Russia was invading Georgia, that there were troops on the ground and tanks in the streets, and that Saakashvili had been murdered? It is called experimentation on society. It is called beta testing. It is called psychological warfare. And that's what occurred yesterday in Georgia. Again, when a mainline state-sponsored television station faked an invasion by Russia. Why do such a thing other than to put the people in panic, in pandemonium, in fear of an external enemy? That's what that was about. JR in Indiana. JR, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason. First time caller. First off, I took Zoloft when I was in middle school, and it pretty much just put me in a blah mood. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't care about anything.
Zombified you, basically?
Yeah. It pretty much just makes you a zombie. You just want to sit there and look down at the table or whatever. And the reason they decided to put me on that was because I wasn't doing all my homework and all this. But at the end of the year, when they would test me for these medications, I would test two grade levels ahead of, like, what I should have been in. And that's what they kept passing me on in school. And when I finally stopped taking it, the teachers noticed that I was more sociable and they could actually communicate with me because I wasn't a zombie. So Zoloft just really puts you in a zombie mode, and it does make you feel even more depressed.
Well, let me say this, JR, and let me put this out as a warning to anybody out there who does have young children. My aunt, back when my cousins are now 19 and 16 or 17. I'm not quite sure if he's 17 yet, but she put both of them on Ritalin when they were about 10 and 12 or 13 years old. And I was like, what are you doing to your children? They do not need to be on Ritalin. And she fought me over and over and over again. And eventually they went off the Ritalin and they were a lot better than when they were on the Ritalin, because again, it zombifies you. You should not be putting your middle school age child, your high school child, on these psychotropic reuptake inhibitors. Try being a parent. Try reaching out to them. Try getting involved in your kid's life instead of worrying about that second mortgage, that second car, how you're going to pay the bills. Family, communication. Not drugging your kids. That's not the answer. That's never the answer, in my opinion. Are there good drugs out there? Of course. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. You know? But at the same time, I'm telling you right now that when they want you to get on a second psychotropic drug named Abilify to couple with Zoloft, Prozac, and others, beware. Especially when they're telling depression may deepen, homicidal thoughts, suicidal actions. These are their warnings. They're advertising to you that these things don't really work. We had another caller call in and say they don't even say that they work. They say that they ease some of the symptoms of depression and never go after the root cause of depression. And I got news for you. We've all been depressed at points. I'm not perfect. I'm not happy-go-lucky all the time. It's called picking yourself up. It's called being a man. We live in a society now. And I noticed these on my little YouTube comments. Oh, Jason's pretty good for a young guy. a young guy. I'm 30 years old. Don't people understand that the founding fathers of this nation were in their late 20s and 30s when they founded it? I'm not a child. I haven't been a child for years and years and years. I haven't been a child for a decade plus. But society wants to treat me like a child because I've got a little bit of a baby face. And I'm not pro-establishment. We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com. Jason Burmes, before we go back to your calls, I want to cover this story. Court rules against vaccine autism claims. Oh, it's a claim that mercury is a poison and shouldn't be used as a preservative. That's a claim. Really, when I was in school, they taught me that mercury was a high-level poison and that I shouldn't ingest or touch it in its raw form. But now it's nutritious and delicious. You listened to the Alex Jones show earlier in the evening. He played you the local news clip where it says it actually helps your brain and ups your IQ. Vaccines that contain a mercury-based preservative called thimerosal cannot cause autism on their own. Lie, lie, lie. Liars. These people love to lie. They lie constantly. It's their thing. A special U.S. court ruled on Friday, dealing one more blow to patients seeking to blame vaccines for their children's illnesses. The special U.S. court federal claims ruled that vaccines could not have caused the autism on an Oregon boy, William Mead, ending the family's quest for reimbursement. All I can say to you out there is, if you have a heart, if you really do care about your family, into the child you're about to bring into the world, into your toddler that's in preschool, do not vaccinate them. I'm telling you, just don't do it. Get the conscientious objector waiver and be an adult. Yeah, you might get made fun of by some of your neighbors. Yeah, you might get threatened by local law enforcement. But I can tell you one thing, you won't brain damage your kid. And isn't that more important than any of that? Isn't that the most important thing? That your kid leads a happy and healthy life and has a chance in this crazy mixed up world? That you're not shooting them full of poison that actually damages their brain? That's probably a good idea not to do. To damage your child's brain with poison. That's what you're doing. When you give them the shot, when you take them in for swine flu vaccination, oh no, the big bad swine flu is going to get everybody. We're all going to die. Oh, we're on pandemic level 6. World government, UN health regulations. We gotta take it. We'll sell it at Walgreens. And then people realize when they see a pretty cheerleader who took the regular flu shot being paralyzed that maybe this isn't such a good idea. They understand when TV doctors like Dr. Oz get up on CNN and say, well, we have had some issues in the past. In the 1970s, there was an outbreak of Guillain-Barré. Well, are you going to have your children take it, Dr. Oz? Well, I'm Dr. Oz on television, but I'm Mr. Oz here at home. And me and my wife have decided that our 3 children will not be taking the H1N1 vaccine. Probably a good idea, Dr. Oz, not to poison your children with a vaccine that isn't even really for H1N1. You see, the swine flu that broke out mysteriously was H1N1, H5N1, and the human flu virus all coupled into one super virus. That's what they don't tell you. And now they've recalled the majority of the H1N1 vaccinations. It's on the FDA's own website. We're going to cover that later in the program. Let's go to Mark in Georgia. Mark, you're online. Yes, sir. And we got
Hello?
One. Yes, you're on.
Hello,
Mark.
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh, hi. Just a second. Get pen and paper ready.
Okay.
Hello. Yes.
Yes.
This is Mark.
Yes,
oh,
Mark.
You can hear me good. Pen and paper, write this down. The Restore America Plan at gmail.com. There is what I was just heard recently at the Patriot Network is that there are top brass that are fed up with the illegal orders.
Yeah, and it's all a hoax, dude. Mark, you're in hoax land. You're in imagination land. You're in gullibility world when you believe that members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff are working with somebody on some obscure Patriot network to restore the Constitution and Bill of Rights like that with a little fix-all. It's bull shenanigans, man. Get a little discernment. Hoaxery. We'll be back after this. It's the InfoWarrior. Been nicer to that last caller, folks. But number one, he wasn't even by his phone. He's like, well, I've got an email for you. We've got the solution. People are ready to revolt inside the government. And this harkens back to the fake NESRA documents where Navy SEALs secretly signed a pact that the Constitution and Bill of Rights would be reinstituted and this coup of a government would be taken over. And now, just along those same lines, there's some patriot out there. Patriot, in quotes, folks, who's saying that he's in contact with members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Oh, yes, the Joint Chiefs of Staff want the Constitution and Bill of Rights back. People like Michael Mullen, who is in Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, calling for a new world order in the first 10 minutes of the film. Oh, yes, I'm sure that he wants the Constitution and Bill of Rights back. And I'll bet you anything that this patriot that is putting this information out there is also taking donations too, isn't he? Folks, I'm never going to be a huckster. I'm never going to come on the air and tell you that I have crazy mental powers or that I've started some religion and you need to follow me. I'm going to stick to the facts. I'm going to stick to what I can prove. I'm going to report on the news and I'm going to fight tyranny. I'm not going to give you a one-stop, all-in-one solution. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to placate to you. I'm not going to treat you like a child. I'm going to treat you like a grown adult. A grown adult. So it's time to grow up when you hear somebody telling you about mystery shadowy men that are only contacting them to save the world. Peter in Texas, you're on the line. Yes, Peter.
How's it going?
Good.
I have a point I was going to make real quick, but is it okay if I plug my YouTube channel real quick?
Go for it.
It's Funkmaster 5.
It's a great YouTube channel. You've done a lot of good things. You call into a lot of the shows. You've gotten on some mainline talk shows and talk some truth. Funkmaster 5 at YouTube. What do you got for me today, Peter?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Well, do you ever get the chance to watch the show Heroes?
You know, that's a show I have never watched, never once. I know that Malcolm McDowell in the show plays maybe the bad guy, and the only reason I know that is because somebody sent me a clip of the show where Malcolm McDowell, who played the dude from Clockwork Orange, the main bad guy, calls for a new world order, right?
Yes, he does. And that's just the beginning of it. I mean, there's so much stuff in there. It's, I know that there's a lot of shows out there that have some predictive programming and, you know, a little bit of propaganda in them. But this one, I think, really takes the cake. Me and my girlfriend have been watching it on Netflix over the past few weeks, you know, just catching up, going, season to season, and we're just astounded at how much crazy stuff they have in there.
Well, give me some other examples other than Malcolm McDowell calling for a new world order. What else is pro NWO agenda in this? Sure.
Well, where we're at, we're not current on it yet. We're still catching up. But where we're at, there's a general theme going on where they're rounding up the guys who have special abilities because they're a quote unquote threat. There was actually one scene that was great. They had them in orange jumpsuits with hoods over their heads. A drugging inhaler, and headphones so they couldn't hear anything.
A very Guantanamo Bay.
And I thought they were going to take them to Guantanamo Bay. The plane, and actually, I don't want to really spoil it for people, but I mean, it's just really current.
Well, I'll tell you what, Peter. If you could do just a small YouTube video hitting up point after point I'm sure that, they take some of those things down. But if you're commenting on it and it truly is fair use, put together a 5 or 10 minute video. It will probably take you 2 or 3 weeks. People don't understand when you're editing these things. You want a little production quality. You want them to actually flow. It takes a little time. Put it up there. We'll play it on the show. I appreciate the call. I got loaded phone lines. I got to get to the next one. Let's go to Brian. Hey, thank you, brother. Brian in Washington. Brian, you're on the line.
Well, you're talking about drugs and psychology in the media. I thought those were some interesting topics. I wanted to make a comment about that. What you spoke to the gentleman who had unfortunately been prescribed Chantix for his smoking addiction. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
You were talking about
that? First of all, there are drugs, psychiatric drugs. And matter of fact, if you get exposed to them, and matter of fact, I've decided I was able to get enough and just take a very light dose of it. Mm-hmm. To get by, when it turns out they're addictive. It's like you get on for some people, and you get a drug. You get accustomed to the feeling of it, and accustomed to the way it regulates your metabolism, mm-hmm. and your body and your senses. And then to suddenly withdraw from it. It could be a shock.
Let me say this, Brian. I have never seen a larger black market for pills. It is popular amongst high schoolers. It's now popular amongst college kids. And I'm even seeing people beyond college trying to get a hold of these drugs. And it worries me that we are becoming a nation of pill poppers, of people who think that there's a quick fix, an easy solution within a pill, and that they even are recreational drugs out there. And I'm seeing it more and more and more. And I'm hoping that people will start waking up to the fact that these things are not helping you, that this is a big scam, that the majority of people taking them do have the adverse side effects that you listen to in 3/4 of the commercial. They're dangerous. Stay away. I appreciate the call, Brian. Let's go to Liz in Texas. Liz, you're on the air.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to talk about the vaccines too, but first, since he brought up the drugs, mm-hmm. I was put into a rehab facility when I was 14 because I was acting out,
mm-hmm.
and they put me on all kinds of medicine. The first one they had me on was Depakote, and I ended up having high blood pressure, and I felt like I was going to faint, and so they had to take me off of it and switched me to something else. I ended up being on about 1,500 milligrams of mood stabilizers, and they had me on antipsychotics to sleep, like a Seroquel.
So what was it like being on all these drugs? I mean, did you feel like you had a grasp on reality? What is it like taking this cocktail of prescribed drugs?
I felt somewhat like a zombie, but more like my mood swings intensified, mm-hmm. They diagnosed me bipolar, which I think was completely ridiculous. I just had problems. You need therapy for problems. You don't mm-hmm. you don't take a pill. It's horrible. My brother was put on, my mom, I don't know what she was thinking doing this, but she put him on stuff when he was 6 years old, and he's permanently insane now. He's a paranoid schizophrenic. He thinks he can talk to animals. There's just and then my stepdad took Chantix, and he had a dreams that he was murdering his family members,
Let me stop you right there, because the last guy that we just talked about, Chantix, said that he was waking up in cold sweats, having disturbing dreams, and he couldn't even remember them. If you listen to the warnings, they tell you that you may have hallucinations, you may have vivid dreams, you may have nightmares, and you're telling me that from taking Chantix, a drug that was supposed to help him quit smoking, he was dreaming of murdering his family.
Pretty sick. He ended up stopped taking it. And that was the same doctor prescribing me with all that other crap.
And a lot of people don't understand these doctors are actually invested in the big pharmaceutical companies, or in turn get kickbacks from them for prescribing these drugs. I appreciate the call, Liz. Great caller. Let's keep moving through. Let's go to, I have loaded phone lines, folks. Dave in Michigan. Dave, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason, I love your show. I've been listening to you since your debut, and
excellent.
I am going to miss you. I hope you decide to keep doing that radio show when you moved it back to New York.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to say, I'm a 50-year-old guy here in Michigan. I'm blind.
Mm-hmm.
We usually get sick quite a bit up here
mm-hmm.
With our long, cold winters. I've been on Utopia Silver for about a year. I have not been sick one time. I got my whole family on it. They don't get sick anymore. It is awesome. And the melatonin does help you sleep. It's natural. It's a chemical your brain makes to make you sleep. And if you take a pill, it's 3 milligrams. You get them at any drugstore, it will help you sleep. So check it out, brother.
Keep all right, thank you so much.
I love you.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for listening, man. And I'm going to keep doing this for as long as I possibly can. Me moving to New York doesn't change a thing. You're still going to be able to hear the Info Warrior here at InfoWars.com. Let's go to Ray in California. Ray, you're online.
Yes. Recently, I've been seeing a lot of billboards about doing the California census or the United States census. And then okay. I got a letter in the mail requiring me to do my census. I just have a quick question. Is it legal
you absolutely have a right not to do it. Now, they will try to come after you with color of law regulations. They'll say that they passed this ordinance or this regulation, and you just have to keep fighting it and saying, look, it's unconstitutional. I am not required by law to do this. This is absolutely insane. People don't understand the census really stepped it up in the last year and a half. They are now GPSing everybody's home and marking it down within 30 yards. The census is one of those things that the scientific elite dictators out there use to kind of measure the populace all the way around. And another tool that is now even outside of the elites, and I've discussed this quite some time, Google Street View survey raises privacy concerns. And I've talked about how it has never been easier to simply go online, find a person's home, go to Google Earth, see the outlay of their house, their neighbor's houses, the street lines, where you have to do and commit a crime and get away with it. It's never been easier. And now this report, which is, I believe, out of the UK, the report which was carried out by a discount website, myvouchercodes.co.uk, found that 2/3 of the people polled thought that Google Street View images were intrusive. The company interviewed 1,317 people, 57% of which described the street mapping service as an intrusion, while 24% said they believed it was simply a service for burglars. And as this gets to be more real time, and they debuted some of the real time stuff this year, they were showing the sky shot of a stadium that had a college football game going on. You're going to be able to see what's going on in the neighborhood in real time. You're damn right this is a tool for criminals. And you're damn right that invades our privacy. When someone can zoom into the rooftop of my house in real time, I think that might be a bit of a problem. We'll be back after this taking your calls. It's the Info Warrior.
And scared you for 20-odd years. Then they expect you to pick a career.
We are back. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to have hopefully Bob McElvain with us, but we're going to play this YouTube video right now, and then we're also going to examine some of these new photographs coming up. They're not really new. We've seen some of them published, but now I think 20 or 24 of them are new. So we're going to go over those photographs of Building 7 as well. Let's hit this YouTube clip. Oh, we're not ready for it yet? Okay. Give me the thumbs up when we are. And let's go to Dave in California. Dave, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason. How you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Hey, I just wanted to correct a couple of things to say. I wanted to correct that one of the previous callers said that the census form said that you're required to fill it out. I just pulled up the letter that I got, and it says basically, please fill it out. It says that, you know, information helps us know how to allocate taxes and this and that. And it says your appreciation or thank you in advance for your help. It doesn't say you're required to do anything.
Okay.
It's just basically saying, hey, you're going to get one in about a week, and if you can, please fill it out. It's helpful.
Okay.
You know, so that guy should read the thing more clearly. It's not required. The other thing about melatonin is fantastic. Melatonin really is your brain or your glands make melatonin to put you to sleep. And then when the drug wears off in the morning, the same glands make serotonin to keep you awake. So the serotonin, like you said, the serotonin reuptake inhibitors are drugs they give you to keep the serotonin from having really the effect of keeping you aware and awake. So it just deadens everything.
Well, that is a great point. Well, thank you so much for calling, Dave. I'm going to go to...
Go ahead. You know, I'm on your Facebook thing, mm-hmm. and I posted a couple of postings last week, mm-hmm. One after the other. Was that the rule that there's two postings maximum, or did you?
I'm sorry. All right, Dave. If I removed you, I apologize. The thing is, I've got 5,000 friends on Facebook, and some people do abuse it, and they start just posting. I mean, they use it as their own website. All of a sudden, I've got 10 posts in a row. So I put out a rule out there that if you post more than once, I just remove you. I don't give out any warnings anymore because I post every week, that one post a day. I don't mind people posting their own stuff. I don't mind. I like the stories. I use a lot of them here on the air. I go to my Facebook every day to check out the news stories. But, you know, I accept a new friend, and then all of a sudden I've got four posts for vaccineeducation.org or some other website. So, Dave, message me, and I will try to get you back on as a friend. I don't do it to spite people, but at the same time, I do like a little bit of respect so I can put my news out there and people can keep up with what we're doing at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Right now, I got about 1,000 people on hold because, again, Facebook limits me to 5,000 friends. I am going to get more involved in my Info Warrior with Jason Burmes fan page Facebook and the Invisible Empire Facebook that's been created, but I still do use my regular one quite a bit. All right, let's play this McIlvaine clip, and then we're going to have Bob up in the next big segment. Here he is talking about the next big move for the victims' family members. Go ahead.
My name is Bob McIlvaine. My son Bobby was murdered on September 11th, 2001 at the World Trade Center. Bobby was 26 years old. Today, March 1st, 2010, I delivered a petition to each of the 50 members of the New York City Council on behalf of 1,000 architects and engineers. This petition calls upon City Council to open up an investigation into the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7, a 47-story building which was not hit by a plane, which nevertheless fell into its own footprint at 5:20 in the afternoon of September 11th. Help us make the City Council take action on the findings of scientists, architects, and engineers who have proven the federal government lied to us about the collapse of Building 7.
The collapse of World Trade Center 7 was primarily due to fires.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull. And then we watched the building collapse.
Please sign up at nycken.org right now and join our coordinated effort to bring justice to my son and the thousands that were murdered on September 11th.
Folks, I get goosebumps every time I see something like that, and I literally have them. I don't know if they can zoom in with the document cam or whatnot, but that's why I'm in this thing. I'm in this thing because they did murder 3,000-plus American citizens in New York City at the World Trade Center at a site that was sacred ground to me. And not only that, they propagated two wars afterwards and created a police state here at home, all with an unsuspecting public that believed their propaganda, and some of them to this day buy into the propaganda and are willing to give their lives for a lie overseas. We got to step up to the plate. We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior. At the top of the hour, we're going to continue to take your calls, 888-201-2244. But first, I want to hit a little bit of a news blitz. U.S. to roll out major broadband policy. U.S. regulators will announce a major internet policy this week to revolutionize how Americans communicate and play, proposing a dramatic increase in broadband speeds that could let people download a high-definition film in minutes instead of hours. Now, a lot of people can download high-definition films in minutes, not just hours, today. You can stream in this office. We get about 8 megabytes per second, which is over double the average in this country. The current average is less than 4 megabytes per second. But if you're able to pull a meg and a half a second, that's still pretty good. They're saying they can up that to 100 megabytes per second. Now, Cisco this week announced a router that can download the entire Library of Congress printable version in less than a second. And they claim that they can stream any high-def movie in a matter of 4 minutes. Now, the problem with this is going to cause FCC regulation. The full broadband plan is expected to be released at a Tuesday meeting among the FCC's 5 members who are expected to discuss the results and recommendations of the roadmap, which was mandated by Congress. Congress may have to pass legislation to enact some portion of that plan. Hello, Internet 2. Goodbye, Internet freedom. That is what this is really about, and I want to get into this hacker story. Some hackers were found, guess where? In Iran. But were they Iranian hackers? Well, no, they weren't Iranian hackers. Iran arrests 30 over U.S.-linked cyber ring report. Iran has arrested 30 people suspected of belonging to a U.S.-linked cyber network, gathering information on Iranian nuclear scientists and sending people abroad for training, a news agency reported on Sunday. It is said that the group sought to recruit people through the internet for training in Iraq with the People's Mujahideen Organization, a leftist exile group which launched attacks on the Islamic Republic from Saddam's Iraq. So again, we find U.S. black operations doing the very thing that they're decrying, cyber attacks. And don't be shocked when it comes out that these people inside Iran were setting up Iran for cyber attacks. In other words, they were committing cyber attacks against the United States from Iranian IP addresses to frame up Iran. Go check it out yourself. Let's go to Scott in Washington. Scott, you're on the line.
Yeah, Jason, a couple of things I was going to say about Jesse, but I just wanted to mention first that those drugs for the quitting smoking, notice while they're pushing those, at the same time they've been running PSAs demonizing electronic cigarettes. Hint, mm-hmm. hint. Mm-hmm. But anyway, about Jesse, yeah, he passed out another good old-fashioned ass-whooping on The View
mm-hmm.
with good old Lizzie. And even old Babs, and didn't it just made you sick to sit there and listen to her sitting there talking about, now, come on, Jesse. Now, the government, now, would they stage an event that would kill 3,000 people? And you notice when he mentioned the fact of the Gulf of Tonkin, all mm-hmm. of a sudden she quickly wanted to change the subject.
Well, let me jump on that for a second, because Ventura's been doing this press tour all week. I got to listen to him on Stern and also Barbara Walters on Stern. Barbara Walters did an interview with Stern earlier in the week, and then Jesse Ventura was on. And Ventura on Stern was really able to expose the global warming hoax. I will say that he said he believed in global warming. I don't know how much of that is true, if he was kind of just placating to Howard. But then he said, but the solutions they're putting out towards it are for the establishment of a global government and a global tax, and to empower that global government. And he explained what cap and trade was. He explained how it was a scam for the polluters to keep polluting and have this endless money pool. And I really think that he got to. Stern is the biggest thing on satellite radio. He literally has 10 plus million listeners during the day through the live broadcast and the replays. So to reach a audience of 10 plus million that often don't care about political talk, that aren't watching CNN and MSNBC, is huge. So I can only commend Ventura. And of course, Barbara Walters remains the same CFR spokeswoman she's always been. Appreciate the call, Scott. Let's go to Johnny in Michigan. Johnny, you're online.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the previous caller about the top brass. That's a bunch of hogwash, because they're making too much money to revolt, and the soldiers, they're too busy engulfed playing, you know, watching football and playing video games.
The fact that anybody would believe that, Johnny, that they would believe that one guy on some obscure network with like 150 listeners out there is in talks with members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to reestablish the Constitution and Bill of Rights. It's not even like something that would be C-grade sci-fi channel material. It wouldn't even make it there. It's so out of the realm of reality. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, I'd like to also
say Friday, Alex was talking about the U.S.-Mexico border issue. He put out some real accurate information about some of the units that were deployed there because of Bush was pressured to send them. And they didn't bring their M-16s with them. And they didn't bring their M-16s. And they're happy that they didn't bring their M-16s because they didn't have to worry about it. And they're, you know, happy that they're going to have a football party because that was when the Super Bowl with the Colts and Chicago were playing. So, yeah. I mean, this is what we're dealing with here. And also, you know, about the people on board in the military taking the vaccines, you can believe how many vaccines they give these people. And, you know, I've been in, and I've been taking a vaccine in over a year now, and there's ways around it. You just have to be smart, and, you know, there's ways.
There are absolutely ways. You just have to stand up for yourself. Be a human being. Don't be someone who suckles at the teat of big government. Don't get into the fetal position and bend over for the shot. Be a man. Be a woman. Be a human being. Be a human being. Stand up for your innate human rights, your God-given human rights, the ones that you are born with, that nobody grants you but yourself. And you're not granted those rights. You just have to keep trying to keep them because they're always being grabbed by the elite. They're just trying to take it away. No, that's not a right. It's a privilege. Driving's not a right. It's a privilege. Owning a home is not a right. It's a privilege. Having a job is not a right. It's a privilege. Sure, it's a privilege for me to see the sun in the morning, to breathe the air. Without big government, the grass doesn't grow. Rainbows don't shine. Let's go to John in Washington. John, you're online.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to talk about the link between autism and vaccines, you know, the MMR vaccine. And, you know, they want to say that there's no link at all, and they fund all these big tests to prove that there's no link between thimerosal and mercury and the actual cause of autism. But I found that there actually is a link, and they're just not funding this research, but it's a proven link. You can look it up. It's glutamate and glycine, and they trigger the autism, and they trigger it because it's two neurotransmitters made by amino acids. So if you look it up, there actually is a link, and the link is that the hydrolyzed gelatin that's in the MMR vaccine, the measles, mumps, rubella, it has high levels of glycine. And when you put these two neurotransmitters out of balance, that then it triggers autism for the children.
Absolutely. Listen, there's no doubt that our court system is completely broken and is owned by the very elitists who own and promote Big Pharma. And that's why we had this court decision. Not because it's the right decision. It's the elite's decision. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Jacob in Maryland. Jacob, you're online.
Hey, Jason. I have two things. First, I wanted to ask, have you, about the subject of drugs, have you read the book Brave New World by Aldous Huxley?
It was many, many years ago, but in Brave New World, which is similar to 1984, but instead of this big surveillance society, it's really a populace that is being drugged uncontrollably through the food, through the water, and what they take, and they're almost zombified.
And it's not just that. I want to go into my other subject, but I want to say that in Brave New World, like, there's also a more subtle plot. I'll have to read it again because it's been a long time. But it was basically, like, about class warfare. Remember how they pitted, like, alpha against gamma and stuff like that?
Well, and they're always trying to separate us. That's why...
Bad guys, but they're the actual people who have the real knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they're always trying to separate us. They're always trying to separate us by race or class and play the people off against one another because they gain order out of chaos. They consolidate power while we ninny and fight with one another. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Chris in Florida. Chris, you're on the line.
Hey, yes, sir. Jason, good to talk to you again. How you doing, man?
Good, good.
Great show. Last week, I think I called you to take Bill Maher to task about the, you know, attacking God, you know, as opposed to religion. And I wanted to make a couple points, if you just would indulge me for a sec. The only thing I missed out on the last thing, the reason why I was wanting to say it was important is because that's why they try to take prayer out of school, and that's what that whole thing is about, you know, if you take out God from the Constitution, you invalidate the document. You know, mm-hmm. So whether you're an atheist or whatever, you should profess a faith in a creator, because that's where the rights come from. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the Zoloft, and from personal experience, I took that for I think it takes 2 weeks to kick in,
mm-hmm.
and for the first 2 weeks, I was okay, and all of a sudden, I started talking, and I went on this wave, up, you know, and mm-hmm. I felt really, really good, and then it, swooped down, and I crashed, and mm-hmm. it was, literally... I had, slashed up my wrists. I didn't know what I was doing. I was walking around the whole city. It totally reversed itself on me. And I ended up in psychiatric for, 72 hours. And they took me off of it. And I was, okay after, a week. But that stuff is no joke. It was powerful, really, really bad. And this was, firsthand, personal experience that I'm speaking from. And
since you've been off the drug, Chris, you haven't tried to kill yourself or slash up your wrists or found yourself walking in an area. Has any of that stuff happened?
No, I'm fine. I'm mm-hmm. completely focused. I'm happy. I mean, depression is a part of life, and you just have to learn to cope with it. I mean, I've had cousins, I shouldn't, speak for my family, but I've had friends, and mm-hmm. it's very common. And they take ADD type medications, and a lot of them abuse them, because they break them up, and it's like speed.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people will crush up things like Ritalin and then snort it for that type of high. And that's what I was talking about earlier. Not only just snorting these drugs, but sometimes pill popping. And it's getting bigger and bigger amongst middle school kids, high school kids. It's big in the colleges. And I'm seeing it more and more in bars and club type situations for young adults. Don't get hooked on this garbage. It is garbage. It is not good for you, whether you're getting it on the black market or it's being prescribed to you. I appreciate the call, Chris. Let's go to Joe in Canada. Joe, you're online.
How are you doing tonight, Jason?
Good.
I just want to tell folks out there that I myself am on three medications right now. Mm-hmm. Dexedrine, Ritalin, and Seroquel rather Wellbutrin. Mm-hmm. The point is, I'm on medications for attentional deficit disorder and depression and whatnot, and I just want to say to folks out there who think that they can get their emotional happies out of the bottom of a prescription drug container that, honestly, whatever drugs a person is on, okay, to treat whatever disorder,
mm-hmm.
the drugs are not a magical cure-all. They just alter the chemistry of the brain so as to put a person in a mental state where they can more easily manage everyday life's ups and downs. Get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that these drugs – well, first you're saying that there's no cure-all, but at the same time, then why are you still on these drugs? Are you finding yourself dependent on them? Do you think that they're working in any way? I mean, give me your real opinion.
Well, there are folks that need prescription drugs and others that don't, and I'm just one of the unfortunate ones that actually do. And mm-hmm. I find that whenever I take two of the drugs, all of a sudden, right then, day and night difference right there, I become a whole lot more focused and mm-hmm. meticulous, whereas after 24 to 48 hours, off the anti-ADD or anti-depression stuff, mm-hmm. I just go completely cognitionally fuzzy.
Okay. Well, Joe, I appreciate the call. And again, I'm putting out the same warning that I've been saying. Don't get on these serotonin reuptake inhibitors. We've had call after call after call of disastrous results. And if you tuned in the first or second segment of the first hour, we went over several of these ads where they admit may cause hallucinations, may cause homicidal or suicidal thoughts and tendencies, may cause the closure of your windpipe and actual death, may cause high blood pressure, may cause your white blood cells to recede. Oh, that's a good thing. Let's go to Eric in Pennsylvania. Eric, you're on the line.
Hello, Jason.
Hey.
Well, I actually was put on drugs when I was a kid. But before I get into that, my good friend Mark Passio made an 8-hour presentation about consciousness.
Okay.
And you can watch it on whatonearthishappening.com.
Okay.
It's really, really good. Got to tell everyone. But getting back to my story with the medication, I was one of those kids that didn't really like sitting in class, shutting up, and just listening to stuff that I thought was brainwashing me.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a guy from the Department of Education come in and sit down with me and say, why don't you want to learn? I said, well, I feel like you're filling my head with stuff I don't need to know. Then they took me down to the auditorium. They gave me these white tubes of fluoride gel, and they said, oh, you know, we want to give you this. It'll help your teeth. You know, you can swallow it if you want. And then they put me on Ritalin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, Jason, this stuff was so bad. I would just sit there at lunchtime and just stare at my food. I was pale white. Mm-hmm. I was skin and bones after like a year on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I would refuse my medication. My parents thought I was completely insane because I didn't want to take medication. They actually put me in a mental hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And they stopped my medication when they put me in it. And this is, I'm 12 years old in a mental hospital because mm-hmm. I don't want to
take Ritalin.
Sit in a class and shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, no,
and
you're not allowed to be a natural child anymore. All of a sudden, if somebody's talking too much at 12 years old, there must be something wrong with a person with energy. I was a really energetic kid, and at one point they tried to say the same thing about me. Oh, maybe I needed something to calm down, but fortunately, I was always really good in school, so I was on the honor roll. I was always getting, you know, high 80s or low 90s on my score, so they really couldn't do that. But at the same time, it was like I was bad because I was participating, because I was alert, I was aware, I was awake, I was a regular human being. We'll come back to Eric and your calls, 888-201-2244. It's the Info Warrior. The hour, we have Bob McElveen popping in. We're going to talk about the latest effort by New York City CAN to get a reinvestigation into what really happened at World Trade Center Building 7. We're going to show the photographs that were just recently published as we talk to Mr. McElveen. Let's go back to our callers, 888-201-2244. Eric, anything else you got?
Yes. Actually, there is a cure-all for this. It's called meditation. If you go on YouTube and you type in how to meditate, mm-hmm. I swear, sleeping, anxiety, healing, all these things can be accomplished through meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And you should do it, because you and Alex, you guys are all under extreme stress. I mean, you're nuts if you don't meditate, really.
Well, I'll tell you this. Outside of maybe ninth grade, where we were looking at international studies in social studies, my only, I guess, experience with any kind of meditation, not medication, is Stern talking about meditation and how he's been meditating for 20 plus years, and he got his mother on it, and they go with the Maharishi. I know that one of my heroes, Bruce Lee, was big into meditation, but maybe I should. I just don't know if I can get into it, man. I'm one of those guys
that's
constant.
Jason.
I don't know, Eric. My arm's always moving. My leg's always moving. I'm always –
you got to get
Craig,
the
though.
Thoughts out of your head, man. You just get the thoughts out of your head, and it all comes to you, and you absorb the energy of the universe. It's amazing.
All right. Hey, Eric, I love you. Love you as a caller. I'll check it out myself. Let's hit a little bit of a news blitz before we – hit up Bob McElveen and the new investigation into Building 7. Irish Cardinal urged to quit amid court case over pedophilia cover-up. Victims group says Sean Brady should consider resigning as the head of the Irish Catholic Church over his role in the Brendan Smith Tribunal. And there are huge headlines all across the UK that, guess what? The Catholic Church has been molesting young boys and covering it up. No way! Really? The Catholic Church molesting young boys? Wow, I couldn't believe it. It's only been public in this country for 20 plus years. There's only a full documentary about it 2 years ago called Deliver Us From Evil, where the guy who molested countless young children is out on the streets being turned on by the young boys in the park across the way. You ever take the time to think why a pedophile guild is allowed to continue? This is their little pedophile guild. And unfortunately, it's outside of the Catholic Church. Many of the elitists out there think it's their God-given right to have young boys and girls as their concubines, very Romanesque. And it's all just brushed under the rug of forgotten history. Well, we don't forget about an invisible empire. Towards the end of the film, we like to expose the cowboy ring that was found in the White House in the late 80s under Reagan and Bush 1. We intertwine that with the prostitution ring that was being run out of Barney Frank's home in Washington, D.C. We don't back down. And you can pre-order that film right now over at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv, I believe. New York Times probe finds widespread U.S. fraud in Iraq. Again, no kidding. Chaos, weak oversight allowed many who stole cash to dodge prosecution. And I encourage anybody out there that this is new to, that doesn't understand about the corruption in the arms trade, in the rebuilding of Iraq, in the sole source contracts, no more bidding anymore, just sole source contracts, watch Iraq for Sale. Your jaw will be on the floor when you see these people pillaging billions of dollars that are coming out of our pockets. The American taxpayers are not only paying for the murder of millions of brown people, but we're lining the pockets of the utterly and despicably corrupt. We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Who is working with New York City CAN to try to get a new investigation into the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7. We played the video for you earlier. Bob, of course, is a victim's family member, lost his son at the World Trade Center. How are you this evening, Bob?
Good, Jason. How are you?
Very, very good. And Bob, you've been doing this for years now. You've literally traveled the country trying to get your story out there, trying to get a new investigation, an independent investigation into 9/11, and we have been sneered at and just ridiculed at every turn, yet you keep going on. Tell people about this latest effort.
I don't know if anyone knew of, hopefully they did, New York City CAN. They were trying to, they were petitioning this people of Philadelphia, I'm from Philadelphia, of New York City, to have a new investigation into 9/11, and they were petitioning the people of the city. And with so many petitions, they would force the referendum, and then with the referendum, hopefully the investigation would have to go on. But it just never went through. The judge ruled against it. And so this same group of people, which is a very small amount of people, they decided to go after the New York City councilman, which is, you know, I never get my hopes up, because so many times you get their hopes up and they normally come crashing down, and they are politicians. But in New York City, the council, there's 51 council members in New York City, and they're not beholden to any corporate interests. They're allowed to, they have to gather public funds to be elected, to be nominated, so forth and so on. Then if they get the $80,000, the city will match that with another $80,000. So the most they can work with is $160,000. So again, we're not working with people that are beholden to corporate interests, which is very good. But we have to convince them of what we want. So what we're doing is that we're just trying to see each New York City councilman and discuss Tower 7. And it's a tower within New York that's never been investigated. And my thing is, when I speak to them, I certainly can't speak as a scientist or an architect. I can, in layman's terms, I could talk about the towers falling down and they're not supposed to fall down, it's supposed to fire, so forth and so on. But my thing is,
I'll first tell him that, geez, as a member or as a father, and I lost my son, we've never had an investigation. And it's certainly very easy to prove that there never has been an investigation about 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
But that's very globalized. So then we specifically, and I'll mention Tower 7, that Tower 7 wasn't hit by a plane, which I'm sure most of the councilmen don't even realize that, which is really a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And geez, suddenly you have a tower coming down, it wasn't even hit by a plane. And then, therefore, then the scientists will come in, or the architect or engineer, whatever we, whomever we might have with us, and then they'll go behind the science of it. And the science is very tough to argue. So and the councilmen that we've seen, they sort of are wide-eyed about it, saying, geez, I didn't really realize this happened. And that's what has to be done,
mm-hmm.
that this has to be, you know, brought after these people. And then hopefully from that, you know, they take it beyond and say, hey, geez, I think we do need an investigation. So they've been all given petitions by, 1,000 architects and engineers have developed a petition to send to these people. And I put each petition into a mailbox, each one of the councilmen. So they have seen it and they have some knowledge, hopefully, if they read it. So this is basically what we're doing. And
I'd like to tell my audience that there continues to be more evidence coming out that World Trade Center 7 was indeed a controlled demolition and that there is a vast cover-up about this fact. For instance, I'm not sure if you've seen this, but people over at Blogger put in their FOIAs, their Freedom of Information Act requests, regarding Barry Jennings and Michael Hess's interviews after they were blown up in Building 7. And they were responded to by NIST that, yes, these documents did exist, but lo and behold, they were exempt under the National Security Act. Go to New York City CAN, NYC CAN right now and help out. We're going to come back with Bob McElveen. It's the Info Warrior.
Take you from another dimension.
From another dimension.
If you believe in redemption,
I'm gonna take
you from another dimension.
From another dimension.
If you believe in redemption,
I'm gonna take
you from another dimension.
From another dimension.
If you believe in redemption, I'm calling to you from another dimension.
We are back. It's the InfoWar with Jason Burmis. We are joined by Bob McElveen in his latest attempt with New York City CAN, nyccan.org, to get the New York City New York City Council to look at the 1,000 architects and engineers that are demanding a new investigation into Building 7. And while I was out on break, I was actually conversing via Facebook with William Rodriguez, the last man out of the towers. And, of course, Willie Rodriguez and his supervisor, Anthony Saltalamacia, have both gone public saying that there were explosions in the basement level of the World Trade Center prior to the plane strike. We have this plethora of evidence, Bob. We've tried and tried and tried and tried again to get a fair shake, not only in an investigation, but by the mainstream media. And I wanted to discuss this ABC hit piece that aired this week. They do show you and they do show family member Manny Badillo in the very beginning of it in a very short context of your speech. But they never mentioned that you're actually a family member and they never did an in-depth interview with you. And of course, the rest of the piece is a hatchet job that tries to associate us with people that would go and randomly shoot guards at the Pentagon. Can I get your feelings on that?
Well, I really have to be careful, you know, because I do have a lot of anger,
mm-hmm.
and it's important for me to have anger. I mean, I'm really angry at the American public. I'm certainly so angry at the media. But one thing I've learned, you know, from the very beginning of this, you know, the council we went through as family members in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
You know, two sides of the coin. One is anger, the other is depression. So I'd rather be angry because it keeps me motivated. So mm-hmm. I never expect something positive to happen. And I remember Dylan really wanted me to interview with this guy, and he kept asking him, you know, why are you talking to Dylan? Dylan and Corey were asking, Corey were asking, well, why are you interviewing us? We're just two young guys that made a DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you talking to the family members? Well, that gets me angry, but I just have to watch myself. So, you know, the only thing I can say is there's tremendous anger, and mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. So I just have to take one day at a time
and just do what I can. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And not let myself get so upset. You know, and that's the only way I can answer it, because I'm just as angry at the American public because they don't want to talk about it. You know, not necessarily the fear. They just can't believe that their government might have done something like that. And I'll certainly tell anyone. You know, in that little video they show, they didn't say it's a family member, but I'll gladly say to anyone, in my heart, I've investigated this for 8 years, 9 years. I've been doing this since the day Bobby died. In my heart, because of my investigation, because of the fact out there, I know. And it's important to say I know, because to believe there's some doubt in my mind, there would be doubt in other people's mind. But I know what happened that day. And I know the United States was part of the orchestration and facilitation of 9/11. So in my heart, I know what happened. So if I can leave that legacy to my family, hey, so be it. I just can't force the issue. And if I try too hard to force the issue, then it just gets so frustrating. And then I start getting depressed, if you can understand that.
No, I can absolutely understand. I can't possibly begin to understand what it would be like to lose a son, especially in such an event that was used to, again, facilitate the murder of millions of people overseas and the imperial domination of the Middle East while creating a police state and fear here at home. And with your anger of the American public who really refuses to even address this issue, I'd like to go to a quote by Martin Luther King Jr. There is a time when silence becomes betrayal. And if you're aware of this stuff, but you're sitting on the fence and you're not talking to your family, you're not talking to your friends, you're not talking to your neighbors, you're not making copies of Loose Change Final Cut or Fabled Enemies or some of these other pictures and handing them out, you're not trying to inform your friends and family about the seriousness of the geopolitical situation we now face, you are betraying this country. You are betraying the memories of the 3,000 plus that died that day. I long for the day, Bob, that we will have an actual trial and people who were actually responsible for 9/11 will be prosecuted and punished accordingly. I have to believe that one day that will happen through our tenacious efforts.
I certainly hope so, Jason. And I think of that every day of my life. Before I go to bed, I think of that. How wonderful it would be. But, you know, there's been a lot. I mean, look at the millions of people who have died over the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who's been brought to court for that? You know, I hate to look at myself as a victim, because this has been happening to people, obviously, in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, look at the death squads in South America and Central America that we've, you know, so part of. You know, people talk about bringing Kissinger to trial. I mean, all these things. You know, it has to come out some way, somehow. And it's all there. It's nothing to, you know, there's no deep secrets here if you just put a little investigation in yourself. But again, that's, I think, the problem with the public is if they didn't know, you know, like I said, no. It's very easy to say, oh, I sort of believe. But that doesn't mean diddly. But if you came to the conclusion that I know that this happened, then you have to take the responsibility and spread that word. And I think that's what they're afraid of. They just feel that they can't do that. That, you know, it's like betraying your father. It's like betraying your country, you know, which is the father figure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel that it's betrayal of this country not to say something, because if you do believe in the Constitution and Bill of Rights, you're supposed to defend this nation against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And when we have the shadow government running drills of hijacked airliners slamming into building that morning, when we have videotapes of E-4B doomsday planes on the scene of the World Trade Center as they're getting struck, and on the scene of the Pentagon as that attack occurs, we have a real problem. We do need a real investigation. We can't just succumb to the lies of the establishment and act like everything's okay. Bob, how can people help New York City CAN today?
Well, what's going to happen when the time is right, when we've talked to enough councilmen, okay, it's going to be a phone and fax campaign. So it's a matter of checking the blog or the website, and it will depend on how many councilmen we talk and when it happens. But then the phone and fax campaign, we hope we can make that nationwide and just keep pushing the issue.
So I hope everybody out there heard that, Bob, because I get a lot of calls here. What can I do? How can I help? How can I become more active? How can I make a difference? And you're giving the people out there an action that they can take that can really help, that can make a difference. So reiterate that and tell people how they can help. If you're listening to this program, and I know there are thousands of you out there, And there are hundreds of you that really are just sitting there sucking your thumb in that fetal position, sitting on the sidelines, just listening to a radio show. This isn't just a radio show. This is a place for people to take action against the establishment. So again, tell people how they're going to be able to help and really gear them up. Tell them that this is something important, something that can make a difference, because it is.
Well, this is really the only game showing right now, because, again, we're not talking politicians. I mentioned earlier, we're not talking the big congressional politicians that are beholden to every corporation in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these are just public servants. They have to take public money. And we're hoping to put the onus on these people, saying, hey, Building 7, and we're talking to the other two towers, too. We could go into that. But Building 7, NIST even said, now NIST is the organization, it's part of the Department of Commerce, the National Institute of Standards Technology. They're the ones that supposedly investigated the collapse of all three towers.
Mm-hmm.
And they waited years to give out the report to about Tower 7.
Mm-hmm.
But they even admitted that the first 2.25 seconds of the collapse or the demolition of the Tower 7, of course they didn't think it was demolition, but the first 2.25 seconds was free fall. That makes it so. They admitted that. Therefore, it is impossible, absolutely impossible, that the towers could come down the way they said so. It had to be a controlled demolition. For any part of that building to come down in free fall, it had to be demolition. There had to be explosives in the building. So we have to emphasize that to the councilmen. This happened in your city, and it has not been investigated, and that's my job to tell them. If you look into the 9/11 Commission report, it was an exposition. This Ben Van East even said that, one of the commissioners. It was not an investigation. So speaking for myself, my son was murdered. I have never had an investigation. So I will present that to the councilman. And then when the time is right, we want to call upon everyone in the country to fax and to phone the councilmen of New York City. And this will be the time when we've talked to so many of them. We hope to get to all 51. I don't know if that'll happen, but then when that happens, then we start the nationwide calling and faxing and to put pressure on them and to put that guilt on them that, hey, as a responsible person, as well as a responsible councilman, being that it happened in New York City, this must be investigated. So from that investigation, hopefully the Pandora's box will open up. That, geez, everyone in the world knows for sure, which even the government-sponsored NIST stated that there was a controlled demolition. That has to be told to the world. And hopefully this is what we're going to do.
Absolutely. And there can be light at the tunnel, folks. After years and years and years of hard-fought battles, finally, about 10,000 of the workers that did not settle with the city got their $650 million in compensation for the fact that they were inhaling poisonous and noxious materials, including barium and other heavy metals, at the site of the World Trade Center. And they denied that for years, Bob. For
yep.
years, Bob. So we can have a victory. We can have a victory here. NYCCan.org. Get involved today. It is a great, 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 great program. They are fighting tooth and nail to bring the truth out about 9/11. Thank you so much for joining us, Bob. God bless you.
Right, all right. Appreciate it.
Some say we'll see Armageddon soon. I don't think so, folks. I think that Armageddon thing is all a little hoaxer. It's kind of out there to make you inactive, to make you think that the end is near anyway. Just cow down and allow for the bad to happen, and the good will rise up. Meanwhile, humanity sits on the sidelines. Well, a select few, a superclass of elites, decide what really happens in the world. They guide humanity in their own vision, in their own twisted vision of the world. We're going to go back to callers in just a moment, 888-201-2244. But I want to wrap up this Building 7 thing, especially for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. We're going to show some of the pictures that were recently released this week. So we have those queued up. Now, initially, when James Meigs wrote his propaganda piece about Building 7 in the magazine, he said that these are the pictures, that he had seen pictures that nobody else had, and that the back of the building, stop right there. I want that on. Keep that on. That is the back of World Trade Center Building 7. Now, they said it was scooped out. It was scooped out. Now, if you watch my film, Fabled Enemies, it's available free online. You can order the DVD copy over at Infowars.com right now. If you're a PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber and you haven't seen it, you really need to. We take you inside Building 7 after the towers have collapsed, and lo and behold, it's not gutted out. Now, bring up some more pictures because I want to keep going on this. It's almost the last couple of pictures that are really going to show you something. Get to the next picture. Now, this picture right here was the picture that James Meigs used to say that 20% of the bottom of the building was scooped out. Now, if you actually draw a line, it looks like there's some damage to the corner one floor. But then you'll notice that the second layer of actual windows is complete as you go down, and it may be obfuscated by some smoke. Now, let's get to the next picture. The next picture is actually blurred out a little bit, and you see that same edge mark. In other words, things blown out, but this time it's up by the 46th through 42nd floors. It looks very similar. Doesn't look like damage from the tower. It looks like there might be explosions going on inside the building. Get to the next one. Now, the next picture right here. Okay, this isn't the picture I want. I want the one after this. This is the back of the building. Go to the next one. Oh, man, I hope I got it. Next one. Or that's the first one again. I didn't bring up the correct picture, but we will get the correct picture coming up at the 30 mark, where you can clearly see that it is not gutted out and that that first window line is intact at the bottom floor. So we're going to bring that in. We're going to show you that on PrisonPlanet.tv. But again, folks, we have the interview with Barry Jennings talking about an explosion from underneath him on the 8th floor. We have the news reports from both Barry Jennings and Michael Hess that day that there were explosions in Building 7. We now have the actual information that the FOI request has been sent out to NIST, that they have the interviews with Hess, that they have the interviews with Jennings, but they won't release them to the public because they are exempt due to national security. Why would they be exempt due to national security if the government's official account of what happened at Building 7 were true? The answer is they wouldn't have been. I spent time with Barry Jennings. He told me he was stepping over dead bodies in the lobby from a separate explosion. That's the reality. It's very uncomfortable for people to realize that we have a tyrannical government that would murder its own citizens to go in turn murder millions of more overseas for an imperial agenda. But that is the reality. So grow up. Michael in Florida. Michael, you're on the line. Yes, sir.
Oh, hey, Jason. I wanted to say something about where I was this weekend.
Okay, go ahead.
I was at a Peggy Quince event, and Peggy Quince is the Chief Justice of the Florida Supreme Court.
Okay.
And she was appointed under Bill Clinton, and she's the first African-American female Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
Okay.
And I just wanted to let you know that I kind of enlightened the crowd there. Mm-hmm. And I told him about InfoWars and you and Alex Jones and stuff.
Cool.
And a lot of people said that they were going to look into 9/11 and all the events that happened that day.
And tell people, Michael, because you're a young guy, you're about 13 years old, you're doing a lot more than the adults out there. You're going to these events, you have no fear, you're going up to people and telling them how it is, right?
Yeah, and they were all Democrats there, and I know that there's no difference between Democrats and Republicans anymore, and I was just telling them how Bush and Obama were the same. So,
well, my friend, you keep it up. I think you got a bright future ahead of you. And that's what we need. We need people that aren't afraid to take on the system, to go to the establishment and say, hey, you're wrong. This is the reality. Take a look at the evidence. And don't just believe Jason Burmis or Alex Jones. Go see it for yourself. We'll come back. We'll go to Tom, Thelma, and others, 888-201-2244. Jason Burmes. And before I go back to the callers, 888-201-2244. For PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, we're going to bring up the two photographs that prove beyond a reasonable doubt there is nothing scooped out. Let me repeat that. Nothing scooped out from World Trade Center Building 7. Mr. Liar Meggs, Mr. Liar Dunbar, Mr. Liar Hearst Publications, and Popular Mechanics. Now, here's the photo they didn't show you. Now, you can clearly see that there may be some damage up around the 8th to 12th floors, but lo and behold, oh, it's not scooped out below the 8th floor. It perfectly lines up. Get you. Scroll in even a little bit longer. There you go. See, the bottom of the thing isn't scooped out. Oh, still don't believe me? Bring up photo 17, folks. Bring up photo 17. The smoke has cleared. And now, in photo 17, you can clearly see, and this is the photograph, on the left-hand side, that is the edge of the building they're talking about. And does it have some damage? You betcha. Is it scooped out? No way. Nothing is scooped out of that building. Nothing. The fires on those lower-level floors were from the huge explosion that occurred below the 8th floor to Michael Hess and Barry Jennings, and that's the reality. That's the real deal. I've done the investigation myself. I went to New York City. I interviewed the man. I tried to get Hess to talk to me. Being the right-hand man of Rudy Giuliani didn't help. He didn't want to talk to me. He didn't answer my phone calls. He didn't answer my faxes. He didn't answer my emails. Weird how he went to the BBC and said that there was no explosion, though. Very odd that he would talk to them. Let's go to Tom in Arizona. Tom, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason. I wanted to bring up one quick point. You were talking about the ABC versus Loose Change video that happened. It came online yesterday. It was on InfoWars, but now it's been taken down. Was there some kind of copyright issue with that?
No, it's still up there. It's probably just in the you know, the archives. It's probably below the.
It's good.
Yeah, it's probably just below the first three. Yeah, no, I think it is very important. My thing is this. They framed those guys up so that they made it so. First of all, Dylan's not the best in a debate. I've debated side by side with Dylan when they're asking him a question and he's got his tongue in his mouth like this. And he's going like, it doesn't look good for the movement. And then when they edit the one point where he freaks out at the guy because he's not doing his job, that's not good for the movement. You have to be cool, calm, and collected, and you have to just issue the facts again and again and again. I even got a little heated during our Loose Change Popular Mechanics debate on the fifth anniversary of 9/11 and wish I had been a little reserved at certain points. So there is an uncensored video out there. There is a story over at Infowars.com. It's probably in the 9/11 archives. I encourage people to check it out. Thanks for the call, Tom. Let's go to Thelma in Ohio. Thelma, you're on the line.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Loose Change was awesome.
Oh, thank you.
I had a comment about, you were talking about mind-altering drugs.
Uh-huh.
There are ways to produce brain chemicals with food.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways to do it with crystals. Rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And the caller that was talking about meditation,
mm-hmm.
There's ways to change your brainwave patterns through breath.
Well, you know what? There's a movie out there that I don't fully agree with. It's called The Secret, but a lot of it and the law of attraction is reality. Folks, we create our realities every single day. When you wake up in the morning and you actually have motivation to go do something and a drive, that pulls that type of thing into your life. When you're constantly depressed, when you're oversleeping, you're overeating, you're unhappy, you're going to breed that same type of lifestyle, that same type of mentality. And when it comes down to it, all's we are vibrations, folks. We're just vibrations set at a certain frequency at the microscopic level. So you can't tell me there are secrets of the universe that we don't know. But I encourage people to check out the law of attraction and then in turn try to use it in their everyday lives. I try to use the law of attraction in my everyday life every day. Every single day I use the law of attraction. And I have seen wonders in my life. I have seen things that people would describe as miracles. But at the same time, it's not a fix-all. I can't just sit here and think about how I want to change the world. No, I have to take actions towards that change. You have to do things. You have to set out a plan, goals, and put yourself in the right frame of mind, the right mindset. I appreciate the call, Thelma. Let's go to Frank in North Carolina. The line, the number is 888-201-2244. Frank, you're on the line.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Jason. I had a little observation to relate. I called into a neocon talk show Wednesday of this past week, and I broke a little ground there.
Okay.
I've been monitoring enemy radio transmissions for quite a while. Rush Limbaugh, all the local neocon radio stations, and some others that I won't mention. But the host of the show, she's a young upstart. She's pretty good at what she does. She's totally brainwashed. I'm not exactly sure what her deal is. Her name is Tara Servatius. Very unusual to have a female in that line. But anyway, there's a guy named Dennis Prager. I remember him back from my days when I was part of the false left-right paradigm. I haven't followed him in years, but apparently he recently made the statement that what is happening to the United States economy is being done on purpose. That these guys are not dumb, they're smart, they know what they're doing, and this is being done systematically on purpose. Well, amazingly enough, she spoke on that for a few minutes, and she said, "You got 30 seconds. I want everybody to call in that's listening and let me know, do you agree or do you disagree? Why or why not?" So I jumped right on it, like I always do on this, because that's the best time. That's another reason I wanted to get on your show. The best time to get on and make a point. I always get on and say, watch Obama deception. Learn it. You know, that's the best time to go on and do your advertising, because they won't censor you during that 30 seconds. That's when they're lax. Their guard is down. Call whenever they do those little 30-second surveys where they want to get numbers in. They want a bunch of guys calling in. Anyway, I said, look, I've been trying to warn people about this for 5 years, that the economy is this is all being done systematically. It was planned a long time ago, Anyway, I got a pretty good message out. But my point is, there were about 15 to 20 callers that called in after me. And I figured, like usual, they would all say, that first call you had was crazy, all that. 90% of them agreed with me, and some of them even went further than I do. And these are regular listeners to a neocon radio show. And I was so encouraged by that. That's the most encouraged I've been in a long time.
Well, sir, more and more people are waking up, and as their pensions are taken away, as they have less and less benefits, as the admitted unemployment rises above 10%, and in my generation, you know, the 18 to 30 somethings out there, it's much closer to 30-40%. The real unemployment in this country is closer to 20%. Of course, they're waking up, and we have to take this opportunity to seize that moment and get them to watch things like Fall of the Republic, The Obama Deception, Fabled Enemies, Loose Change, Final Cut, Endgame, and now coming April 15th, Invisible Empire. I want to take this time to play the trailer. Do we have that ready, guys? We're going to play the original trailer for Invisible Empire. Did this one some months ago, but look for a new trailer from Invisible Empire either Tuesday or Wednesday, and I will be on Russia Today tomorrow promoting it as well. So let's go to the Invisible Empire trailer.
Nazi forces seek to establish systems of government based on the regimentation of all human beings by a handful of individual rulers who seize power by force.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society.
And the hope that each of us has to build a new world order.
A new world order is coming into being, but it looks less and less like the world order that Mr. Kissinger had constructed in his own mind.
And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
What is the Bohemian Grove? Well, it's a kind of summer camp for the powerful.
Among its members, political figures like Gerald Ford, President Reagan, Vice President Bush, Richard Nixon is a bohemian. Each year, guests like Henry Kissinger or Zbigniew Brzezinski address members on their areas of expertise.
Be a poster child for these people because you have served on the board of the Council on Foreign Relations, you started, helped start the Trilateral Commission, and you've been to the Bilderberger groups.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy.
I don't believe in this notion of some sort of secret societies controlling people. But, of course, in any political system, there are sort of over-the-table and under-the-table arrangements.
It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine.
By the military-industrial complex.
Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised.
We can find meaning and reward by serving some higher purpose than ourselves. A shining purpose, the illumination of 1,000 points of light.
No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order.
The quest for the new world order is in part a challenge to keep the dangers of disorder at bay.
We were interested today to hear that more than 100 law enforcement officials in Mexico are having microchips implanted in their arms. The chips allow a person to be scanned, sort of like a cereal box at the supermarket checkout.
I think the most important thing is for Barack Obama.
I think his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created.
I think the new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation.
But the burdens of global citizenship continue to bind us together. In this new century, Americans and Europeans alike will be required to do more, not less. Partnership and cooperation among nations is not a choice.
Yes, these men and their hypnotized followers call this a new order. It is not new, and it is not order.
I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people.
Coming to the InfoWar, April 15th, it's Invisible Empire, a new world order defined. Pre-order today. We're going to hit up some final phone calls in the next segment, 888-201-2244. But first, let's hit this news blitz. Google is 99.9% sure it will be shutting down its China service for searches. Talks with China over censorship have reached an apparent impasse, and Google, the world's largest search engine, is 99% certain to shut down its Chinese search engine, the Financial Times said on Saturday. It is said in a report on its website, Google had drawn up detailed plans for closing its Chinese search engine. So even though Google works for the National Security Agency, at least they're not evil enough to stick with China that censors YouTube. That's right, no YouTube in China. Weak economy means it's freebie time. And here's MSNBC selling you on the idea that a bad economy is a good thing for you because everything will be free. Once again, imagination land. You know the saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Well, in this economy, getting a free lunch, a free book, or even a free dress shirt may be easier than you think. It's great being a slave. It's great not having a job because everybody has to give everything away for free. This is a three-page article. And they're promoting the fact that now restaurants have to lower their prices. They have to offer you buy one, get one free. They have to do all these promos to get you interested in their product. See, that happened anyway in a healthy economy with a fair system of competition. But they're selling you a lousy economy that doesn't produce anything outside of garbage is a good thing because you might get a free lunch at Denny's. Give me a break. The future is now. Jetpacks go on sale later this year, and that is a reality. We actually played the jetpack video for you on this program about 3 or 4 months ago when they were beta testing it, and now it is a reality. And it's not like Rocketeer jetpack. It's more like you have plane wings and there's a huge throttle on your back. It's still very interesting. We're living in a time of jetpacks, folks. Flying cars and robot maids may still be far from reality, but one Jetsa-era vision for the future is very real. Later this year, you'll be able to buy your own jetpack. And it'll only cost you around $100,000. $100,000 for a jetpack. So look out for all the trendies who are driving around in their Lamborghinis and Maseratis to also have jetpack fun. It's not just ski-doos anymore. And outside of this, the Jetsons are really becoming a reality with things like Project Natal and the Xbox, where they have a biometric scanning device in your home. Oh, it's not biometric, Jason. Really, it has facial recognition software on it. It has voice recognition software on it. That's by definition biometrics, but no, I'm making it up. I'm in imagination land. Tax soda, pizza to cut obesity, researchers say. Oh, that's a good thing. Now, we're not only going to have a tax on salt and poisonous things like soda. I encourage you not to drink soda. Soda is not a good thing. Leave a penny in a cup of Coke and see what happens to it. And that's what's in your stomach. Mmm, delicious. Coca-Cola. I don't think we should be taxing it. And pizza, I'm a former pizza guy. So now you're telling me that the combination of bread, sauce, and cheese is taxable, but cheese and sauce alone won't be taxable. Bread and sauce won't be taxable. But when we have sauce, cheese, and crust, it's tax city, baby. All because people don't know when to say when. Pizza is not causing people to get obese. People are causing people to get obese. Take the Twinkie out of your mouth, put the pudding away, and hit the treadmill. Don't tax me for enjoying a delicious pizza now and then. My God. Let's see. What do we got over here? Mission far from accomplished. This one's out of Reuters where they admit, oh, double dip recession. How about a depression? We ain't out of the woods yet. The financial crisis continues. Another week, another set of central bank meetings and more to digest for investors on monetary policy and withdrawal of crisis liquidity. The U.S. Federal Reserve and Bank of Japan both meet in the coming week, but far from unwinding the uneasy money policies embedded over the past few years to ignite economic growth, both are likely to admit implicitly that the job is far from done. So they tell you 3 months ago, the recession is over. More jobs are being cut. More infrastructure leaves the country. More power is given to the Federal Reserve Bank. The SEC is taken over by the IMF. It's all about UN government control and the big banksters governing your life. And they just say, double dip recession. We'll make up a new term. Everybody will ignore us. Final segment of the Info Warrior coming up. And remember, if you missed any of the program, go to theinfowarrior.com and grab the podcast. The Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Final segment. Remember, if you missed any of the program, you pick up the podcast over at theinfowarrior.com. Following the show, some of the stories that I did not get to: Mexico gunmen kill American consulate staff, Greek bailout tops EU finance minister's agenda, nurses union care does not include sex. Yes, this guy complained because his nurse wouldn't give him sexual favors, another had. This is out of Dutch, of course. I think it's out of the Netherlands. Just completely cockamamie. No, you don't get sexual services with your health care. Just ridiculous. Blockbuster puts European arm up for sale. Blockbuster about to die a crazy death due to Netflix and other systems like it. Gold's cross-currency strength signals its evolution, even with, I believe it was the IMF dumping something like $27 billion in gold into the economy. Into the world, gold is still over $1,000 an ounce and surging. Guns from high-profile shootings had same origin, and the relentless war against our fishermen, all things that I was unable to cover. Let's go to our final callers, Tony in Illinois. Tony, you're on the line.
Jason, yes, how are you?
Good.
You know, you guys are talking about 9/11 and recurring debt. You know, I've not really much of a writer, but I felt compelled to write something. So I started writing the screenplay, and I got about halfway through, and I got, I guess, what you call writer's block. But what would you suggest? I mean, I know I've been looking for writer's groups. I'm basically looking for a co-writer. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of at wit's end here because I can't really find anyone that would help me out with my script. Mm-hmm. I feel something good. I feel something that would wake people up, but mm-hmm. I don't know. What would you suggest?
You know, as a guy who really writes on his own and then gets his stuff revised almost involuntarily, I always think it's good to have a second set of eyes, but I wrote my entire last two scripts on my own. I did not write the entire script for Loose Change Final Cut and really had more of a rewriting role and a research role in that, aside from producing. I would say just find somebody whose work you like, approach them. I would say people out there like Sander Hicks that have written novels. I know that the guy Steve Alton who did The Shell Game, he does some more kind of fiction-esque stuff with nonfiction material in it. So there are ways, and I would just say write it, because I know that I'll sit there sometimes and I'll get through a whole section. I'll be so proud of myself. I'm patting myself on the back. I'm starting to edit it. And then when I'm done editing it, I'm like, oh man, what do I do for this next section? I just don't even know yet. And I just got to come up with it. And sometimes that deadline helps. Having a deadline always helps to get things done. That's what I can tell you, Tony. All right, let's go to Janice in Texas. Janice, final caller. What's on your mind?
Hi, Jason. I was just calling about a comment that you made, like, earlier in the show about your aunt putting her, I guess, your niece and nephew, whatever, on Ritalin.
Yeah, my two cousins, actually. Cousins.
Your two cousins?
Yeah.
Well, in her defense, it's like, I went through this with my son, and mm-hmm. once they decide, once the bureaucratic school system, like, has that mark on you that the kid needs to be on that, mm-hmm. I mean, they never, ever let it go. And I fought, meetings after meetings and had my kid, like, taken out of the school district, sent another. And, you know, finally the big showdown happened at a big high school here in Austin, Central Austin. I don't even want to say which one it is.
Mm-hmm.
But they called me in for a meeting. There was this minor infraction in computer class, and they wouldn't really tell me what he'd done. He'd never, you know, started fights or done anything. And they were saying, you know, the only hope is to get him on Adderall.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, by then, you know, it was like, we're talking from fourth grade up. The internet information was there. I knew what it was. I said, it's a grade A amphetamine. You know, basically, you want him to do speed. You know, why? It's like insane. You want kids off drugs, right? Not on them. And I heard one teacher say to the other one, oh, well, I can see where he gets his attitude from. Look at the mom.
Janice, I appreciate the call, but we just have to remain persistent. And that attitude is a good thing. It doesn't need to be drugged up. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com. And the podcast is over at the InfoWarrior.com right now.